Let's open up the scriptures, if you will, to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Now, we've mailed some tapes to the Mahan that we talked about last night. He's been prayer in regard to the Spirit as they listen. He gave me some very encouraging information in regard to John, whom we mentioned last night. He's been prayer. The Holy Spirit works on him. And we just have a lot of good things going on, and be positive about and thankful for and be in prayer about. Anything come up that we need to know about now, okay? Let's approach the throne of grace and get ready for our study in Scripture. Some powerful things that regard to spiritual love. I'm very thankful that so many things have not changed, but just see things differently from when we did this back in 92, that have changed a lot of things and made them richer, taken out a lot. I've taken out a lot of stuff that we looked at that time that I don't feel are the pertinent issues, and maybe even wrong issues, but at least not pertinent. And going over at this time for the writing of spiritual love. So let's prepare ourselves and get into the power of the Spirit, if not already, or concentrating, allowing Him to illuminate for us what's going on in Scripture. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves this evening with each other to examine these things, to allow the Spirit to reveal these things to us, Father, that we can see with the eyes of faith what is going on in our own lives when things happen in our lives. It's so difficult sometimes in the midst of a battle, Heavenly Father, to have the clarity of vision when one's in the midst of the battle. Yet with faith we can have this. And so, Father, we pray that your Spirit will cause us to understand why love. Why not, for example, righteousness in this place? Why not service in this place? Why not a lot of things that could be? Why love? What is it about your love, Father, that makes it the prominent factor in our life, and that force, Father, that just changes us and just transforms us, Father? So we pray that the Spirit will reveal all these things to us, Father, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Let's read a few verses. Just by way of introduction, I want to do this every now and then. I'm just coming in, sitting down, and zeroing right in, but just keeping perspective of where we're going and what we're looking at. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then, and this is what we call first class, it's true, if then you have been raised up with Christ, and if you have accepted Christ as Savior by faith, you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Now, why? Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. How easy it is, and I'm talking about me, how easy it is for us to get ourselves thinking about the things below, thinking about the things that here, thinking about, you know, for me, numbers, thinking about, well, what I had and what I don't have, and thinking in the realm of things related so powerfully to the earth. And some of you, they're young, but you start looking and you look at your life and, well, this isn't what I thought things would be, but and be like this, and these things have happened. But we're so prone, and it's natural because it's natural of the flesh, because we are the flesh. We are the earth. So it's a very natural flesh thing to do, is to consider everything, evaluate everything in the terms of the flesh, in the terms of the earth. But what we should do is look at the things from the perspective of where the Lord is. Oh, I hear music. I hear music. Does anybody else hear that? I hope so. No, no, I don't hear anybody. But that was perfect timing. Perfect timing. But how easy it is to look at the things from... Hi, Cecilia. Tell us about Steve. How's he doing with the leukemia that we talked about last night and prayed about? Is he still looking for the donor? Is he still looking for the donor?
Yeah, we're still in the
hospital. Okay, still in that family process right now, staying with the family?
Yeah, they'll be
testing
all about.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe you. Ah, that ain't going to work. Okay. You're clear. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer then.
Thank
and thank you for letting us know that. I wasn't aware of that. But this is what Christ is. And this is where our reality exists, is in the heavenly sphere. So, verse 1, we're looking at Colossians 3, Cecilia. If then you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above. This is what we should seek in our life. The things below, this is why Paul doesn't talk about it. And he says, it doesn't matter whether you eat or don't eat or do this or don't do this. But you people have lost the whole point here. You've lost the whole point. This is not what we're all about. It's the spiritual realm. Now, one thing we do have to look at, that being free of the law does not mean we are lawless. And sometimes people take their freedom in the spirit and turn it into lawlessness. And that's why Paul, a couple of different places, says, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And we might look at that sometime. But just in the perspective of why spiritual love and why forgive 70 times 7 and why all of these things, we're so caught up in the cosmos. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above. Get our thinking on the things above, not, oh, this isn't working out, and I'm not getting to buy this, and I'm not getting to go there, and I'm not getting to have this, and I'm not getting... If we could walk in this sphere, and we can in the spiritual life, seeing and understanding all things, all relationships in this spiritual realm, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. And that's very powerful. Not, absolutely not on the things that are on earth. Doesn't mean if you have them, you don't enjoy them. It's not that, and it's not a self-denial. Some people take this and they say, oh, this means you deny everything on earth. No, that's the wrong way. That's the stoic attitude. What you want to do is not deny it, these things, but it's not what we pursue. It's not what we think. It's not where my happiness is. It's not where my contentment is. It's not my evaluation of my life on these earthly things. So that is done from those things above. So he says, not on the things on the earth, verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, hidden is important in the next verse, because if you look at the revealing in the next verse, hidden with Christ in God, it's hidden. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And this is what we'll be looking at in the book of Revelation. Now look at verse 12. And so, these verses in between deal with our nature in the flesh, which is our obsession with the things that are below. Verse 12, and so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy, beloved, those are what you are. You are chosen, you are holy, and you are beloved. Therefore, put on a heart. Notice the inside, not the overt related to the earth. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. And when you read through these things and we come to the list in chapter 13, you're going to see how love does all these things, like love bears all things. So verse 13, bearing with one another. And that means when they hurt you. That means when they sin. That means when they let you down. That's what bearing is. Bearing with somebody isn't when everything's going right. You're not bearing with them. You're enjoying it. But bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And then he says this great phrase, and I'm going to do a work on this with you. And beyond all these things. That's a beautiful phrase in Scripture. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Not doctrine, not service, not emoting, but spiritual life. Okay, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's find out some things about why this has this place in Scripture that it does. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. And what we're seeing in these first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13 is that spiritual love, well, life without spiritual love is a life where you say nothing, you are nothing, and you do nothing. This is a life, this is what we're looking at in these first two verses, is a life without spiritual love. This is a life without love, is what we're looking at. And it's a very powerful thing to recognize your life without spiritual love. Now, we're looking, let's read and get to where we are in our study. Verse 1. If I speak with a tongue, we're in 1 Corinthians 13. How's it going, Don? All right. If I speak with a tongue, the language of men, and I even speak with the language of angels, whatever that would be, if I speak with it, but do not have love. And this is where we left off last week. I have become a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. Actually, an echoing sound, echoing metal, and a clanging cymbal. What we saw last week is what these things do. Both of these have this intention in mind. They draw the reason to use those is that they both are a loud noise and they both draw attention to you. And I showed you that with an echo. How an echo, you're getting you back magnified, and that's why we like echoing. So we're, you know, probably in the adults, especially kids, you go into some kind of a valley or crevice or mountain, and hello, 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 and it comes back, and that's my voice going all over the mountain, and it comes back magnified. And that's why he uses this, and that's what the Greek word is. I put it on the board for you last week. So we get ourselves back, and we come back, and all we really are in the spiritual warfare, all we really are is a loud noise. We're just a lot of noise. And people think they're so impressed with themselves because they have the spiritual gift, or they have knowledge, or they have service, or they have emotion, or they have giving, they give, and they think they're just doing so many great things. No, you're not. You're just drawing attention to yourself without love. So it becomes very powerful in this respect. So we study this. You do not attract attention to Christ. You simply attract attention to yourself. So a life without love, a life without spiritual love, in verse 1 is you're making a loud noise. You're just a lot of noise in the spiritual warfare. And it's that kind of thing where the angels, you know, probably have some kind of a ear muster, just muff that noise out. Just makes a lot of noise in the spiritual warfare. Gets in the way. But that's the way a lot of Christians are, most Christians, because they do not alchemize, transform these things through spiritual love. So the principle of the Christ-like life is not you and is not me being strong spiritually so that we can walk around and demonstrate how strong we are, how independent we are, how much we know, how our spiritual gift, how much we give, what we do. It is not those things. This is not the way Christ loved you. This is not the way Christ walked. Now, Christ as God is all-powerful, is and was all-powerful as God. This is the way he came to earth. He came to earth in weakness. He came to earth totally in need, just like we all are, of the Holy Spirit. And it is that we are to imitate. So we are spiritually strong in the power of the Spirit by faith so that we can perform a task in the Spirit-filled life. And without spiritual love, people, everything you and I say, everything you and I do, well, nothing. The prophets is nothing. So if you're going to affect to use your spiritual gift, and if you're going to affect to learn scripture and to give and to function in the Christian life, without spiritual love, you're wasting your time. So if you want your life value, that's why I call it the philosopher's stone. It's spiritual love that gives you some profit and some utility in the Christian life. Jesus Christ made us a new spiritual creature. We're not to draw attention to ourselves. We're to draw attention to Him. This is why you and I are here. We've got to constantly remember that, because we're very occupied with ourselves. We're not here for ourselves. Let me show you how great I am. No, let me show you the love of Christ. This is what I want to say. Husband, wife, parents. This isn't, people, living the Christian life isn't outside the home only, or outside the church or inside the church. This is everywhere you and I live. Between a man and a woman, between parent and child, friends, everywhere that you and I are. This is why I told you spiritual love is the more excellent way, because it's all the time. Spiritual gifts are just every now and then, perhaps. But spiritual love is for all the time, and it is for every person you will meet in your life. This is what spiritual love is given to us. So He made us this so that we can draw attention to His love. We are here to draw. I want to put it on board so you'll see this. We're here to draw attention to His love. Now, what is the greatest demonstration of His love? The cross. So ultimately, to the unbeliever, we are here to draw attention to the love of Christ at the cross. And in regard to born-again believers, it's still drawing attention to His love and what He accomplished for us and what He has for us. This is what will attract, is the love of Christ. I don't want anyone to get my love or see my love. It's ugly. The love of the flesh, no matter how altruistic we may want to make it, how wonderful we want to make it, whatever we want to say about it, it is ugly. It is self-centered. Human love is self-centered by its definition. It is for me, by me, and of me. And therefore, it's always me. Spiritual love has absolutely nothing to do with me. It is to draw attention to Jesus Christ and to Him. This is what spiritual love will do. Without spiritual love, all you're doing is drawing attention to yourself. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if it's a spiritual gift, as a preacher, or as any of the spiritual gifts that we've studied, that we've studied all of them that are mentioned and talked about, maybe some that are not mentioned. We've gone through that study. All you're doing is drawing attention to yourself without spiritual love. No matter what you do, no matter how much you serve, no matter how much you know, no matter how much you emote, all you're doing is drawing attention to yourself. But when you speak, verse 1, when you use your spiritual gift under spiritual love, that's going to draw attention to the glory of Christ. It's going to draw attention to the person of Jesus Christ. This is what you and I have to be aware of. We have a personal, intimate relationship, and I feel so sorry for Christians who don't. But we can have a very personal, very intimate relationship with the person of Jesus Christ, and we're drawing people to this person of Christ in the manner in which it's to flow through it. So this is what you and I are here for. Now let me give you a few summary points here, just a few to bring this, and we can move on at this point to verse 2. Alright, 1. So make it very clear, it was a privilege to have extraordinary gifts, especially in the first century. Because this first one talks about extraordinary gifts, the gift of speaking in the language of men and angels. So it was a privilege to have an extraordinary spiritual gift. But as great as that is, it is far greater to have spiritual love. It is far greater to have spiritual love, and every believer can have it. Not every believer is going to have the gift of speaking in the language of tongue, or the language of men and angels. But every Christian can have spiritual love flowing through them. It's something that every believer can have simply by faith in the Holy Spirit. Point 2, no believer, after the completed canon of Scripture, has the spectacular spiritual gifts. And no believer has all of these gifts. But every believer can have the force of spiritual love working. Well, I wish I had that spiritual gift. Or I wish I had that spiritual gift. Or I wish that I was important in this way. What this is what Paul's whole point is. I'm going to show you a more excellent way, more excellent than a spiritual gift, is spiritual love. To concentrate on that, to pursue that, which is a life of faith. So every believer can have the force of spiritual love working in his or her soul and life. No matter what you're here, pastor, teacher, missionary, whatever it is, the gifts, people are given very charismatic gifts. And so often they're not in the spiritual life. I think today at the Bema Seat, the Judgment Seat of Christ, efficiency rating, there's going to be so many people in chat. There's going to be so many people in chat. They're going to be some of the most charismatic type of people, and I don't mean you know, tongue tied, just their whole presentation. They're very charismatic, and it's a wonderful appeal. They're very strong, very powerful, and they just know they're going to drive away with truckloads. And what is going to be so beautiful is if we were there in our physical form. I can just imagine some like there are a lot of words for black people. I like Hank Williams. He called them Ethiopian people, and I can just see several Ethiopian type of old preachers who are just going to drive away the truckload because they taught and believed their little congregation to walk by faith, and they weren't confused with a lot of education. A lot of missionaries are going to be that way. Some of the best books I've written on spirituality by faith have been by missionaries, not by men who are confused by the languages and all the stuff they have to go through and miss out on the simplicity of faith. And there's going to be just a lot of confusion in that regard. So every believer can have this spiritual force working in them, whatever your spiritual gift is. We can have it. So I don't care what these things are, and this is why it's so difficult to be able to tell unless you know what they teach and what they believe about being filled with the Spirit. About so many of these people are on TV and that they travel through and just attract a lot of people. And the attraction may be flesh. Attraction may not at all be the Spirit, and often is not the Holy Spirit. So there is no spiritual gift, there is no production that has the magnitude of effect in the spiritual warfare, people, and this is where you and I have to be very clear here. It may look like on the surface, and I'm not going to mention names because that gets out of gets confused. But you can turn on the TV and see some big stadium filled with people, and maybe in a foreign country, even here, and all the people just and doesn't have a clue, even Salvation One, much less Salvation Two. Not a clue. And yet, if you look at it from the human thing, that's why I started with Colossians 3 tonight. You look at it from the world, and, boy, that one's just doing so much, and this guy over here is not doing hardly anything. And I'm not doing anything compared to that. Oh, how wrong. How wrong. This is why you and I, who have had the veil lifted, have to be very careful and understanding and seeing what's going on in the spiritual realm. 3, the magnitude of spiritual love is far greater than anything you say. Without love, a believer, without the spiritual love, a believer has no force, no magnitude, no effect whatsoever in the spiritual warfare. And I don't care how effective you may think you are, and all that you can say, all your accomplishments, and it's going to get to the point in Salvation One where people are going to say, what do you mean? All these things I did. And they're going to say, I didn't even know you. I never even knew you. Who are you? But I said, Lord, Lord. No, not as a believer and not in the power of the Spirit. You just made a lot of noise to yourself. But you didn't draw attention to my son. You didn't resolve this act, bring this into the spiritual world. So if you want your life to have magnitude, people, if you want your life to make a difference for the person of Jesus Christ, if you really want that, It's not a matter of going out and working hard and trying to make it happen. Well, I really want my life to count, and I really want to have an impact in history, and I really want... It's so simple. All you have to do is have spiritual life. That's all you have to have in your life. Wherever you are, whoever you are, teenager, adult, working home, working somewhere in the world, whatever you do, all you have to do is to have where you are. I think several weeks ago I talked about this. Can you imagine? Let's say this is your home. This is your home where you are with your husband and wife. And inside of this home is the same, very same love that put Christ on the cross. Don't you think about that? When you're at work, here's your work world. And when you have spiritual love, you have the magnitude, the force of love that put our Savior on the cross. From the one aspect that was studied on Sunday morning, that God gave His Son, that love, and the love that God, Christ offered Himself. Right there in your office, right there in your home, right there in your social life, right there in your church, wherever you are, if you have spiritual love flowing through, you have the same love that put together the cross. And people, I'm not being dramatic. This is the love you're demonstrating and having flowing through you. It's that same love. And it's going to have the same effect. There were many people. What happened at the cross? There were many people who hated Jesus Christ. And there were many people who were drawn to Jesus Christ. Both of those happening with this love. And this is what you can have right there in your home, in wherever you are. Four, it is spiritual love from believers filled with the Holy Spirit that the world sees the love that motivated God to give His Son, like we're studying in Abraham, and motivated Jesus Christ to go to the cross. That's what they're seeing. They're not seeing you. This is what's important. They're not seeing me. Yeah, but I want to be important. No. Spiritual love won't allow that. They're not seeing you. They're not seeing me. What they're going to be seeing is the love of the person of Jesus Christ. That's what they're going to be drawn to. And what a privilege it is for us to have this love flow through us. This kind of love flow through us, a love that doesn't draw attention to me. And how much we want attention to us, but not spiritual love. It does not exalt itself. It draws attention to the person of Christ. How can I do that? Not by your words, but by this love. This love will do it. You and I don't do it. This love will do it. This love will draw and point out this person of Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to verse 2. Verse 1, if I speak with the language of men and angels but do not have love, I have become an echoing sound, a clanging cymbal. You say nothing. Now, verse 2, a life without love, spiritual love, a life without love, you are nothing. Look at verse 2. If I have a gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and have all knowledge, that impresses me because I love understanding and studying Scripture. And the supposition here is to have all mysteries, all knowledge. That's just powerful. That surely that would make this guy the greatest one on earth, wouldn't it? And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, mountains are insurmountable objects, but do not have life, I am nothing. How can you say somebody has knowledge of all the mysteries? Is nothing. I'm nothing. Paul mentioned these four elements of the Christian life, these four virtues of the Christian life, these four common elements, and I use the word common element because it's going to take something to make them effective in your life. And we have four of these now mentioned. We have prophecy. We have knowledge of mysteries. All wisdom. And we have mountain-moving faith. And then Paul says that even with all of these things, without love, you're nothing. And that should be a staggering thing for you to contemplate a few minutes. It should be a staggering thing for us to think about. This is not a negative statement. This is not minimizing knowledge of the mystery or spiritual understanding or mountain-moving faith. Well, it's so funny. People are so particular about their various areas. And if you say anything that even sounds like you're negative, just sounds like you're saying something against knowledge, and they just go off in a huff. They don't listen anymore because you've made a statement sounding like you're saying something against knowledge or understanding all the mysteries. Oh, that's the greatest thing in the world, whatever it is. And they whatever their list is, remember we studied people who have lists. Whatever their list is, you even sound like you're saying something negative, and they just cut you off. Boy, you don't understand how important this really is, whatever their little list is. And they hear nothing else and never listen beyond that point and really think that you're attacking their list. I have people who left this assembly, oh, you're attacking knowledge, and you're attacking the Bible, and you're downgrading knowledge, and all of these types of things. They never heard, because this was their list, whatever it is. Talk about service. Oh, well, you're attacking, here's the thing we ought to serve. You attack purity. Oh, well, you're just talking for purity so that you can be impure. You attack emotion. Well, you just don't understand emotion. And on and on and on. And they don't hear anything else because you've attacked their list. What Paul is saying is not something against any of these virtues, any of these common things in the Christian life. What Paul is saying is something vital about spiritual life. He is saying that spiritual love is, without spiritual love, none of these things are useful to you in any way. It was when I was studying, going through at this time, I come to realize something about using the analogy of alchemy and alchemizing, that sitting at my desk, I'm very thankful for this, going through at this time, because I would have written it the old way. But I see something here, and it's not really quite correct. I can use it, but I'm going to be careful with it, and I'll tell you why. Tell you why, what I realized in studying this. He's not saying anything about we'll put all mystery and all knowledge right now, and we'll clarify the difference later. But he's not saying anything about knowledge or mountain moving faith, moving insurmountable objects, nor is he talking about service, giving, for an example, it's being the giving, and the spiritual gift, and all of these things. People, these are not the things that are changed. What's changed is you and me. Not what he says. But spiritual love, what spiritual love changes is you and me. This is what has changed. Spiritual love does not change the knowledge. Spiritual love doesn't change the spiritual gift. Spiritual love doesn't change the prophecy. Spiritual love doesn't change the knowledge of all mysteries. What spiritual love changes is you. What spiritual love changes is me. Look what he says in verse 1. I have become this, and that going down. Verse 2. I am nothing. Verse 3. Profits me nothing. Now we're going to come to the big me. And without spiritual love, this is what's changed. In that real sense that you and I had alchemized, if you please. I'm working on how we're going to work through this. I may just drop the whole analogy altogether. I don't care. It's just an analogy to teach a point. It doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. But when I realize that these aren't the things that are alchemized, what's alchemized is you and me. We're the ones changed by the spiritual love. That's what's alchemized. That's what's changed. This is the power of spiritual love. See? These common elements of the Christian life have no value for you without love. So this is a statement about what this is a statement about spiritual love. It is a believer who needs the changing process that spiritual love and spiritual love alone will do. And let me try to tell you what we're trying to do. Let's take knowledge. Take knowledge, and we all understand its place and its importance. What we try to do with knowledge of doctrine and officially the mystery doctrine, we try to take this and make this give me value. We take service like giving. We take service and we say there's something magic in service. And service is going to give me value. It's going to make me important. Knowledge will make me important because it does in the human realm. It does in the human realm. Seems to make us very important. Knowledge is power. We've all heard that. And we can solve all man's, this is liberal ideology, we can solve all man's problems if we can just educate man. Knowledge has power. So if I get this, it will change me. If I get more service, it will change me. If I get more purity, righteousness, it will change me. If I get more emotion, if I emote more, it will change me. People, please understand, these things do not have that power. It's spiritual love that will change you. It's spiritual love that will make you something important. It's spiritual love that gives you utility in the Christian life. It isn't your knowledge. It isn't your service. It isn't all of these things. This is what verses 1 through 3 is about. The only thing that's going to give you and me value, make us something, I have become an echoing sound, though I say nothing, I am nothing, profits me nothing. So I'm nothing without this. I need spiritual love. We all need spiritual love, and it's spiritual love that is going to transform you, transform me into something useful in the angelic conflict. This is what will make you and I useful. It isn't our knowledge that's going to make us useful. It isn't going to be our service that's going to make us useful. There's nothing efficacious, if I can use that word. It's a good theological word for salvation, the efficacious work of Christ. But what efficacious means is that which has the power to effect a change in another. Anybody have a problem understanding efficacious? We talk about efficacious work of Christ. Why we're saved by faith in Christ alone. Because the reason we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, let's put the word faith, and let's say our faith is in baptism. Okay, what we're saying is that I believe it, and there's something in baptism that will affect the change in me. I am saved or affected by confession. There is something in this that can affect the change in me. I am by repentance. Let's put the word repentance on here. I am saved or made by repentance. There's something in just being in my repentance that affects the change. No. Faith is directed toward the person and work of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that will affect a change in you. Efficacious. It will affect a change in you. What I'm trying to do when I put any works up here, any performance system by man, whatever religion may have here, whatever legalism may have here, what I said is, these will perfect the change in me. They won't do it. And now, in our context of what we're looking at now, we're talking about the use of spiritual gifts. Speaking mainly there, but the concept is all spiritual gifts, our knowledge of all mysteries, our knowledge which means wisdom, all wisdom of Scripture. And I have knowledge of all the spiritual gifts. What I'm saying is, if I get knowledge, that will affect the change in me and I become useful. No, that's the scripture says no. It will not. If I get service, in the next verse talking about giving all that I own to feed the poor, that's service. So if I do enough service, that will affect and make me effective. That will bring a change in me. People, please understand, these things will not. Quit working. Because they're not going to affect the change. Not a spiritual one. The only thing that is going to transform you, the only thing that is going to give you utility and make you useful, is spiritual love. And now you have all of these things, and now they have value. They give value to your life. But it's spiritual love that does it. So it's very important we see what Paul is saying here. But when I say that, it's very important for us to see what we're saying when we say it without spiritual life. When we just talk about knowledge, when we just talk about service, when we just talk about these things, what are we saying? If I get enough of these things, then I become effective, or more effective, or better. So what are we saying about these things? We're saying they have that efficacious power. You don't find that in Scripture. But here's a very clear passage. Spiritual love does have this. It is spiritual love. Because you can have all these things and you're nothing. And that's a hard pill to swallow, especially if I spent my life on any of these. Whatever my list is that I spent my life doing, and you come along and tell me that this gives you nothing and no merit, no nothing at the bema seat of Christ and rewards. Yes, it does. You can't tell me it doesn't. I spent my whole life doing it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because these don't. It's spiritual love that is going to do it. And look at the cross if you doubt it. It's by the redemptive work of Christ in the cross that we're saved. So this fits so importantly into our study, whole study of lists. Whatever your list is, you need 2 points to how it fits. One, trying to earn something from God by doing. And people with their list, people who have their list of what you do, whatever, it may be a list of just one thing, maybe, but all it is something other than just trusting God. All right. Now, you have your list. And what you're trying to say by your list is you're trying to earn something from God by doing. So you're trying, put it on the board. You're trying, and I say trying because you're not going to do it. You're trying to earn something from God, deliverance from sin as an unbeliever, deliverance from sin as a believer, blessing from God, usefulness from God. Whatever it is, you're trying to earn something from God. So it might be something in the form of a salvation or a deliverance from sin. It might be a salvation or a deliverance through testing and suffering. It might be some blessing in life. It might be usefulness. You might want to be useful in the spiritual warfare. Yeah, I want to make a difference. I can't imagine. I can't make a difference, and I don't make a difference in the world, but I want to make a difference in the spiritual warfare, so I'm going to work real hard to do these things listed in these first 3 verses and many other things, and it won't work. So you're working hard to earn usefulness from God, blessing from God, salvation and deliverance from God. You're trying to earn something from God by doing, by getting these things, and it isn't going to work. He's not going to be impressed. He is not going to save. He is not going to bless. And he is not going to use you. You're wasting your life. You're nothing. Those are his words, not mine. First, this is from the scripture. You're nothing. No, you can't say that. I'm important. No, you're not. I'm very important. No, you're not. I'm sorry. You're just not. But the second thing is trying to give some value to you because you have these things. So I'll put this on. Trying to give value to yourself by having, obtaining, whatever way you want to look at it, obtaining these things. If I have these things, then I'm going to give myself value. Let's use the cosmic thing from our reading at the beginning of class tonight in Colossians 3. I figured it out. If I have money, by having money, I have power. By having money, whatever it may, let's just stay with the power for the point. If I have more money, I'm going to have power. Therefore, I'm going to get more money, and what money can do will now come to me. This is what I'll have. And this is what we try to do with our list. I'm trying to get value to myself by having knowledge of doctrine. I'm trying to get value to myself by having a great spiritual gift. I'm trying to get a value to myself by serving God, by some service I do. And if I serve more, then I'll get more value in it. People, please understand, these things do not have that ability to give it to you. without spiritual life. They just don't. And the enemy will. They're like the little gerbil and that little wheel. You buy a gerbil for your kids and you always have to get that little wheel. And that little sucker will just, for hours, it amazes me. He's on a perpetual treadmill. Going nowhere. And that's exactly what Christians do all their life, trying to get more of whatever it is and get value from it. People, you don't even have to walk on that treadmill. All you have to do is trust the Holy Spirit. Your faith directed toward God, the Holy Spirit, He pours in spiritual life, and that's going to give you this value. That's how easy it is, I'm sorry. That's how simple all of this is. And the reason that Paul and Peter and James and John and all these people put the place of spiritual love, comparing it with everything else, are beyond all these, get love. That's no accident. He doesn't say get knowledge, get service, get this, get that, get righteousness, get this. Get love. Get love. Why? Because it is the power of the love of Christ. That's going to make a difference in your life. That's what will make the difference. And now you have knowledge because the Spirit will lead you to knowledge. So you'll have knowledge now. And you'll have service. And you'll have, knowledge, you'll have service. You'll even have the proper emoting. And you'll have purity. You'll have a righteous life. But now all of these things are useful to you. Now all these things become, they give utility to who and what you are because of spiritual life. That's what he's saying in this passage. Most Christians do not want to be bothered with spiritual love or with any love because people, I'll tell you why. I can talk about any of your lists and none of your lists, and we picked out the major four upon which all the lists come, and those major four, some form of purity of life, morality, righteousness, knowledge, cerebral exercise, or emotion. There's groups that believe that's the big deal. Or service. You take any of these big four, and work on these. None of these will make the demand that spiritual love will make. That's why a lot of people miss it. The scribes and Pharisees couldn't do it, so they had all their work. They worked so hard because they did not want what spiritual love demands. People don't want love. Love is going to intrude on your soul. Love's going to intrude on who and what you are. And while doing that, it isn't going to exalt you. It is not going to exalt you. The gift of prophecy, that will exalt you. Thousands will come to hear your prophecy. You ever seen any of these people on TV? Turn on the TV tonight for Brother So-and-so. He's got a prophecy from God. He got it last night. Got a prophecy from God. It'll draw attention to you. It'll make you important. See? Knowledge. Bragging faith. All these types of things exalt the believer. They make you, all these things, look what they do. And look why we're so drawn to them. They make you look important. They make you look good. They draw attention to you. Let's just say they make you look good on earth before man. They make you look good before man. Don't we all want something that makes us look good before man? We want that. Why would you want something that doesn't make you look good before man? And that's exactly what spiritual love does. Spiritual love, oftentimes, I want you to get this in your mind. Spiritual love, oftentimes, will make you look not so good. It will make you look weak. Look at our Savior in the eyes of the world. To you and to me, that's something wonderful. The eyes of the world, that's a fool. That's foolishness. That is pure foolishness. To die on a cross. For man, for somebody else. People's spiritual love oftentimes will not exalt you in the eyes of man. If you love as Christ loved, there'll be times you're going to be laughed at. There'll be times you'll look like a fool. But if I can parade my knowledge, if I can parade my prophecy, if I can parade my service, it exhausts me. It makes me look really good. But if you love as Christ loved, oftentimes, people, you're going to look like the fool. The very first thing we're going to study about the love, spiritual love, love is long-suffering, makrothumia. People, long-suffering is not a virtue in the classical Greek thinking. As great as their thinking, it was not a virtue. A strong person does not have to be long-suffering. A strong person is the kind of person, you don't do that to Christ. Hey, look, fella, that's it. You did that to me one time, that's it. Let me explain the way things are in this marriage, baby. You don't do me that way. I'm me, and you don't treat me that way. A strong person is not maltreated. You live in spiritual love, you're going to be maltreated all your life. Try that one on. People don't want it. It is not going to make you look great. Look at Isaiah 53. Who was it? Who was Jesus Christ that we should have esteemed to somebody important? He wasn't anybody. He didn't have any charisma. He didn't come in riding on a stallion. He came in riding on an ass. He wasn't anybody important. He pushed him out of line in the fast food market. The fast food line in the market. People, if you love as Christ loved, it will not draw attention to you. And that's why people are not drawn to the battle of spiritual love. Because I want to be important in all of this. No, I'm sorry. So many times the cost, and I use that word in quotes, but that it really isn't. But the cost of spiritual love, the demand is a better word, the demand of spiritual love is not going to exalt you. It's not going to puff you up. What does Paul say about knowledge in Romans? Or excuse me, 1 Corinthians? Knowledge puffs up. These things will make you think you're very prophecy. Service. Everybody looks at somebody who serves a lot. Wow, look at all the things they do. I didn't even do all that stuff. Look at the prophecy. Boy, I wish I could get prophecy like that. Man, that's so great. This is really great. This is really great. How many people look at a suffering Savior and say, boy, that's great. That's what I want to do, suffer. That's appealing. Man, that's where I want to be. I want to be on a cross. I want people to walk all over me and just take it. Ah, walk on me. I've long suffering. Not me, boy. You don't walk on me. I'm John Wayne. I'm John Wayne Christian. I'm tough. I don't know long suffering here. My long suffering with you is what you're getting away with it one time. Spiritual love is long suffering. Long suffering. Doesn't consider when wronged. What kind of person can do that? A fool. You're just letting them take advantage of you. You're just letting them get ahead. You're just letting this. You're letting that. The world will never understand spiritual love, dear people. They never will understand it, ever. They can't understand this kind of love. You're a fool. Even think about it. These other things will exalt you. Spiritual love will not exalt you. What spiritual love will exalt is our Savior and what He did for the unbeliever and His love for the believer. Having said all of that, let me close with this. Why I started with Colossians. Let me show you something. Look back at the Colossians 3 passage with me because I'm closing now. I must have preached tonight. I didn't get very far in these notes. Okay. Jimmy will have to throw something at me when I start preaching. All right. Look at Colossians 3 again. I want you to see something very important so that you'll get it in your mind now, having said what we just looked at. Let's see. Verse 3 of chapter 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is our life is revealed, then you also will be revealed. People, everybody wants to make a lot of Christians want to make a big splash with how they're serving God. But if you walk in spiritual love, you may look like the fool. And you, no matter about it, sometime, let me just tell you, there will be times in your life when you have spiritual love flowing through, you will look like a fool. But I want you to know something. Who you really are, and all these things are hidden. But they're going to be revealed. And there are going to be a lot of people disappointed because they think that all these things, boy, they're going to stand tall at the bema seat. No. It's going to be the person who dared to walk in faith, walk in spiritual life, and then you'll be revealed. Don't look for it, man. Don't look for it on earth. Don't look for the rewards of spiritual life in your own personal life as far as the revealing of all that's going on from man. You're not going to get it. If you want a Christian life that everybody will think you're great, there are ways to get that. If you want a spiritual life that will glorify Christ, and when Christ is revealed, your love is Christ. The loving as Christ loves, then that will be revealed, but not until. So you will look like a fool, but I want to tell you something, people. The day is soon coming when it's going to be revealed. This isn't the fool. Take off the fool's mask, and what do you see? You'll see your Savior. But while you're walking in your life, you will look like a fool. I guarantee you, you will suffer. If you love as Christ loved, it cost him the cross. But when the day of the removal of that is concerned, and revelation is concerned, and things are revealed are concerned, then it's really going to show. And what I want you to have, I want you to have this so that when it's revealed, the people will see what will be revealed about you is that you loved as Christ loved throughout your life. And for that, you're going to be rewarded forever and ever. But it won't be revealed in time. It simply won't. So, forget about the revelation before man. What man thinks, the values. And when I say man, I mean including the body of Christ. Because most of the body of Christ don't even have it right. I want you to get your mindset. Looking for verses 1 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, and you have, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. This is the way you and I have to walk. Setting our mind on that. And the day is coming, and you and I will stand there. And this whole revelation is going to be the whole revealing of what everything is about. And there are going to be people there who have purity on earth, knowledge on earth, emotion on earth, and service on earth. And when the revelation is sent and the curtain is removed and the revealing of Christ is concerned, they're going to be way in the background. They'll be there. They'll be saved. And so often people that the world didn't even consider, they're the ones that are going to be revealed with Christ to have his life. This is what we want, his life. That's the mystery. I'll show you that later. The mystery is the love of Christ. That's the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. Christ is the mystery. We're talking about mystery doctrine. It's Christ. That's the mystery. We center our life on him. We develop an intimate personal relationship with him. We love as he loved. And then, at the appointed time, it'll be revealed. Christ is what I work on the cross. Father, we have a hope. And that hope is that Christ will be revealed. What a phenomenal time. His name is used in vain daily in movies, daily in the world, momently in the world. Multitudes don't even know him, they're cursing. Multitude of Christians don't even have a fellowship with him, a relationship, an intimacy with him. And the time will come when he will be revealed. That's our hope. That's our confidence. We know that's going to happen. And because of that, Heavenly Father, it is our purpose to pursue this life, to to allow this love to flow through us. So that whatever we do, we're the ones changed by love. So that the knowledge has impact now. So that the service has usefulness. So that all these things give to us a place in the spiritual warfare and we become useful. We thank you, Father, that it's this simple. It's this easy to have this simply by walking by faith. Pray that you'll continue to deal with us in grace, that we might come again and continue the insight and the understanding of these things and seeing these things. They have an impact in our lives, in every area of our lives. Marriages, friendships, inner relationships in the assembly, work, wherever we are. We praise you in your son's precious name. Amen.